Hello and good morning. This is Dr. Kevin Fusaro with the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m., so make sure to set your dials for tuning into our show. We're always covering a wide variety of topics related to health, wellness, and nutrition, giving you advice, always having good special guests, and trying to educate you about ways to improve your health naturally. Today, we have a great show lined up for you. Today's show, we're going to be talking about something that is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts, which is skin health. And we're going to be talking about ways to include nutrients in your diet and supplements in your regimen to improve the health of your skin, not only how it looks, but also other ways to protect your skin from damage from UV rays and other things, other insults that we experience on a daily basis to our skin. I want to remind everyone that all of our shows are archived and can be downloaded and listened to for free by going to www.myvillagegreen.com. For instance, you can listen to last week's show, which was a very exciting show, or any of the shows that we've done previously on health and wellness. We have a huge amount of them archived and banked. Last week, we did a great show on liver health. A couple weeks ago, we did a very exciting show on pediatric health. The week before that, we did a very good show on osteoporosis and supporting bone health. So there's a lot of really good things out there. I also want to make sure to remind you to tune in next week to listen to my co-host, Dana Lake, who is a nutritionist who's been practicing in this area for over 20 years. She has an amazing wealth of knowledge and experience in the health and wellness field. And next week, she's going to have Dr. Kim on the phone, who's a medical doctor in Virginia, and they're going to be talking about secondary causes of osteoporosis, so things that can contribute to bone thinning and bone loss and how to prevent that. So make sure to set your dials for next Saturday at 10 o'clock to listen to Dana Lake. She'll be covering that wonderful and exciting topic of osteoporosis. I know that is so much on so many people's minds these days. So today, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about skin health in general. And I have on the phone with me today a special guest who works for a company called Jaro Formulas. And they're a company out of California. And I always like to remind my listeners that we try and select sponsors and we try and select companies to be part of the radio show that we feel provide really excellent products. So we're not financially tied to these companies. We don't have any specific motivation for having them be our sponsors. We have a wide variety of people who would like to sponsor the show, but we always try and select people that we feel provide really, really top quality products. So I want you to listen to the show knowing that it's not just a advertorial pitch. We're trying to include information that we feel is going to be really beneficial for you. And that's a lot of times why sometimes our special guests, we do select people from our sponsorship. So I hope that you do learn something good today. We're going to cover a lot of really good information in general. And if you choose to use their products, so be it. There are other products out on the market, obviously, that will be very comparable and will still fulfill the criteria of the outlines, the principles that we're going to outline today on the show regarding how to support the health of your skin. So on the phone with us today is John O'Connor. He graduated from Cal State University of Northridge with a degree in nutrition, dietetics, and food science. He worked for 8 years with Jaro Formulas technical support department before transferring over to the quality control side. He's been working in QC for the last 2 years and is now working in Jaro Formulas Institute's research and product development as well. So John, thanks for being a guest on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure, Dr. Pusara. How are you?
I'm doing well. Tell me, is JFI, Jaro Formula Institute's research and product development, do they have a research branch there?
Yeah, well, the R&D, I mean, we're always researching, you know, in R&D. Kevin Connolly, who basically heads that, he has a PhD in biochemistry, and he's in charge of the research. We also have Brad Douglas. He has a PhD in organic chemistry. So I guess those are the two leads, and then there's other people who contribute.
Wow, Jaro's grown a lot in the last few years. I remember when I was in medical school working for a company then, doing some work with them, and I remember being at a trade show and seeing a Jaro booth, and this was back in 1999 or in 2000. And I got the impression that you guys were still a pretty small company then, and now the company seems huge. It seems like you guys have had phenomenal growth in the last 9 years.
Oh, we've been growing quite a bit. Yeah. I mean, I've been with the company over 10 years, yeah. And I've seen it grow quite a bit.
Yeah, you guys make some good products. And the nice thing about Jaro that I will say is you guys seem to always create very, very high-quality products, and you always seem to beat everybody else's price points, which is always – those two things don't go hand in hand. Oftentimes, the lowest price points go with poor-quality products, but you guys always seem to be able to undercut everyone. So however you do it, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
So let's talk about we're going to talk about skin health today, obviously. Let's talk about some basic principles when relating to skin health. And when we're talking about basic principles related to skin health, we have to bring up this concept of antioxidants. And I think most people in my audience are pretty savvy with the health and wellness, industry, and probably know what antioxidants are, but maybe, you can just give a brief review about, what is an antioxidant and how might they benefit us?
Sure. Well, that goes all the way back to Dr. Denham Harmon who first proposed the free radical theory of aging.
And when was this? Do you remember what year that was?
Yeah, I believe it was like 1954.
1954,
yep. Thereabouts, 54, 55. And he walked around the University of Berkeley to propose this idea just to run it by people, and most people didn't give it much credence. There was like two people, they were biochemists who thought there might be something there. But, he continued to work, and he toyed around with it. He did some experiments. Actually showing on animals, how free radicals contribute to aging.
So explain what a free radical is.
Sure. A free radical is an element or a compound that it has an unpaired electron without a charge. It isn't like just an ion. It's actually where, typically electrons are supposed to be in pairs in an orbit.
Right.
And so you're missing an electron, and so it becomes highly reactive.
Right. So the problem is those electrons like to be paired. They don't like to be
right.
alone. They always like to be with someone.
Right.
And if they are all of a sudden all by them their lonely selves, what they will do is they will steal electrons off of other places in our body, correct?
Correct.
A place where they love to steal them from are places right. like our DNA.
Right, exactly.
Or cell membranes, and when you steal an electron from a train of DNA, you have the potential of causing a mutation in that DNA
right.
or a mutation in that cell.
Right. So it basically wreaks these free radicals wreak biological havoc on our systems. And we see free radical damage all the time. We see it, where the paint on our car is fading, or you see, rubber on your tires cracking.
Right. We all know if you leave something out in the sun and you expose it to all that radiation
right.
and things like that, the wear and tear happens a lot faster.
Absolutely. So the same concept applies to our own beings, like when we're inhaling cigarette smoke or we're consuming rancid fats. We're setting ourselves up for a chain of events. We're taking in free radicals. We're taking in compounds that produce free radicals in our body, and so the hardening you see on rubber and cracking that can also occur internally.
Right.
where you have this excessive cross linking, and you see it in the form of wrinkles on our skin.
Right. That's my question. I mean, why are free radicals such an important concept with the skin? Is it that the skin is maybe particularly sensitive to free radical damage, or is it just that the skin is the mirror to what's going on the inside of the body? For instance, if you look at smokers, we know that smokers' skin wrinkles and their skin ages terribly compared to non-smokers. And we also know that they're very susceptible to heart disease and other internal problems that are oftentimes a result possibly of free radical damage as well.
Yeah, very often it is. I mean, once in a while, you could say some people might think, because they don't wrinkle, because say maybe they just have naturally darker skin, they may still be suffering from something internally. But very, very often, you have their outer signs, like developing rashes, eczema, things like that. And these are signs because the skin is 15 to 20% of your body's weight, and it's the largest organ in the body.
It is. So many people miss that trivia question. You know, I'm pretty sure it is a trivia question in Trivial Pursuit. What is the largest organ in the body?
Right.
And it is, you know, everybody always overlooks the skin, but it is our largest functioning organ in our body.
And in fact, it's our first line of defense.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, you know, somebody gets major burns. I mean, they're susceptible to serious infection.
Yep.
Things that would normally
not be an issue.
Mm-hmm. When you get a serious burn, you know, that's the major thing the doctors have to do is to try to prevent infection.
Now, our skin is also on a daily basis exposed to high amounts of free radical damage from UV exposure to the sun.
Yes.
Right. From other chemicals in the air, to heat, to light, to oxygen, all of the things that potentially create free radicals. So our skin is, in a way, under a little bit more pressure than other organ systems in our body as far as free radical exposure.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. And that's why it's the skin needs to be supplied with all of the nutrients, you know, that are important to keep it healthy.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, a lot of the antioxidants that we get in our diet, you know.
Yep.
Getting brilliant diet, with lots of bright colored fruits and vegetables, you know, because this tells us there's lots of antioxidants.
Right. Oftentimes you can gauge the amount of antioxidants in a food by how brightly colored it is. And the more variety of colors in your diet, you eat blueberries, which we know have a deep, you know, have a huge array of antioxidants, and you eat rainbow chard and greens and yellows and blues and purples. All those varied things represent a wide spectrum of different types of antioxidants that you'd be getting from your diet.
Right.
So, John, I want to pick up this conversation when we come back from the break. When we do, we're going to be talking about some specific antioxidants that are very important for the skin, as well as some other nutrients that support the collagen structure of the skin and can actually help, contribute to healthy aging and less appearance of fine lines and wrinkles and keep our skin looking nice and healthy. So again, this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this break to pick up this exciting conversation. Hello and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1260. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m., sponsored by the Village Green Apothecary located in Bethesda, Maryland. Today we're talking about skin health, but before we pick up our conversation on antioxidants where we left off last time, I just want to say a quick word about the Village Green. It is a wonderful resource. It's been in business here in Bethesda for over 40 years, helping people with health and wellness needs. It was started by two pharmacists who had a passion for really helping people, and through that passion, 40 years ago, before anybody really knew or even had a bead about natural or alternative medicine, they started to explore some of these aspects of vitamin, nutrient, and herbal therapies. And over the course of time, they developed a large array of resources, products, and education about natural supplements. So we have a huge selection of vitamins and supplements and herbs, I think over 10,000 different products. We have a traditional pharmacy, so if you need your prescriptions filled, you can always bring it to our pharmacy. We're local, everybody knows your name, we take very good care of people, and we can fill your prescriptions. And we have a compounding department, which does custom nutritional compounding and custom pharmaceutical compounding, things like bioidentical hormones, custom multivitamins for people, all sorts of really interesting things. So if you've never been there, you could just stop on in and check it out. The place is always hustling and bustling. We have nutritionists, we have herbalists. Myself, I'm a naturopathic doctor. I'm there every Tuesday. We have pharmacists, we have compounding pharmacists, a huge, vast array of resources to answer any questions you have related to pharmaceuticals, health, wellness, related issues. So definitely, if you'd like, stop on by. We'd love to see you. So I want to get right back to our topic because we got a lot of stuff to cover. I also just want to mention real quick, my co-host Dana Lake was going to return next week and do a very exciting show with a medical doctor, Dr. Kim, who is located in Virginia, on osteoporosis. So make sure to tune in next week at 10 o'clock to hear her show. So, John, I have on the phone with me John O'Connor, who works for a really good supplement company called Jaro. And we've been talking about skin health. And we were, last segment, we were discussing antioxidants. And so I want to, John, in this segment real quick, touch on one thing.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, of course, we're going to mention some really specific antioxidants that have some specific affinity for the skin. But I want to cover this other issue about the difference between endogenous and exogenous antioxidants.
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about that, because this, to me, I think represents a really exciting field and some exciting research that's coming out.
Yes, yes, because, yeah, we do get antioxidants in our diet, vitamin A, C, E. These are important antioxidants, no doubt. And then you get antioxidants in green tea and in
things like blueberries, right?
Exactly.
Pomegranate. These are all the rage, the acai berry. These are the things that everybody's all excited about with antioxidants these days.
Polyphenolic compounds mm-hmm. that are very good antioxidants.
Resveratrol and grapeseed extract.
Right. But and these are all great. And the thing is, the difference is that our body also has an endogenous antioxidant network. So in our bodies are producing antioxidants on their own, like superoxide dismutase and glutathione aligned coupled with glutathione peroxidase and glutathione reductase and catalase. These are all enzymes and peptides in our body that are produced by our bodies, and they're actually more important, you could even say, because let's take an example, vitamin C, for example, which is a vitamin in addition to being an antioxidant,
right.
And it has a functional role in like collagen formation and so on, and blood clotting. But it also works as an antioxidant where it works. It will neutralize free radicals stoichiometrically, you know, like on a molar ratio, like say one, let's just say one molecule of vitamin C will knock out one free radical, but
right.
then it basically gets consumed in that process.
Sure, it can donate some of its electrons to
right.
the antioxidant to prevent, or to the free radical to prevent it from causing damage, but once it donates
yeah.
its electrons, it has nothing left to donate. It sort of
right.
is run out of steam.
Right, exactly, and then it would have to become, it either could be converted into a radical, or like vitamin E can be, or
bioflavonoids. Things can recharge it and give it a chance to have another go.
It can
go.
Be reduced again,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
In the case of something like superoxide dismutase, it's actually involved in the whole detoxification process, like in the phase 2 detoxification
right.
of
yep.
liver. It's a glutathione. But it also, it's detoxifying like its own metabolites and other compounds. So it's basically inducing detoxification and not just knocking out a free radical like on a 1-to-1 ratio.
Exactly. So I think this is becoming so. To me, this is very exciting because, unfortunately, a lot of the research that's been coming out recently, even though things like vitamin C and vitamin E we know are antioxidants and do have some good research behind them, we're starting to see potentially a little bit of conflicting data where these antioxidants don't create necessarily the clinical outcome that we would expect from these antioxidant vitamins.
Right.
And some of that is due to the way that the studies are designed, I believe, and the fact that they're oftentimes not using adequate doses to get the kind of clinical results you would expect. But the other aspect of it, I think, is that this aspect of consuming certain foods mm-hmm. and consuming certain things in our diet, it's mm-hmm. not so much that they provide antioxidant properties themselves, but mm-hmm. what they do is they trigger mm-hmm. the genes in our body to upregulate the production of these endogenous or internal antioxidants like SOD and
right.
glutathione.
That's
so,
right.
yeah, you're literally changing the way that your body is expressing its genetic code to push it towards creating more internal antioxidants. And these internal antioxidants, when they're being produced by your own genes, have a much greater longevity for dealing with free radicals than, let's say, a molecule of vitamin C.
Right, exactly. If you have compounds like sulforaphane and broccoli, which,
exactly.
You know, this induces a phase 2 detoxification process in the liver. So that, you know, that's really important. That's the important aspect to a lot of these different foods, is not just having an antioxidant.
Right, in the food, but actually the way they affect our genetic expression, which I think is so interesting. There's this field of nutrigenomics, which is pretty brand new, which is studying this idea of how what we eat affects our genetic expression and how we can use that to change the way our body expresses disease. And I expect a lot of really interesting information to come out of this field in the next 10 years. So let's talk about some specific antioxidants that we know are very, very important for the skin. Okay.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about just the basic one, like we were just mentioned, vitamin C, because I didn't mean to pan it just a minute ago.
And neither did I.
It's a very good antioxidant, and it is a vitamin that has a functional property. It's, you know, in blood clotting, like I mentioned, and very importantly, in collagen synthesis.
Absolutely. Vitamin C is one of the most important things for collagen synthesis, and collagen is what holds our skin together. It's what gives us, it's what, you know, when you're young, you have all of this healthy, abundant, robust collagen, so you have no wrinkles. As we age and that collagen breaks down, you start to get the sagging in the skin, and that's where the wrinkles and the lines come from.
That's right. It starts to thin out, and you do lose a lot of collagen as you get older, and vitamin C is involved in a process called hydroxylation, where hydroxyl groups are added to specific amino acids in the production of collagen, proline and lysine specifically.
Yep. So vitamin C is often used internally for skin health. Some places actually put it in the creams or in a topical solution. So what else about vitamin C?
Well, vitamin C is also just important for the overall health. You know, scurvy, the vitamins, classic vitamin C deficiency, and one of the signs of that is where you start getting the blood spots start appearing on the skin. The petechia starts occurring in the skin. You can see it as little tiny needle dots, and it can get bigger. And of course, you know, with classic scurvy, the skin just starts, you know, splitting apart. Your gums start swelling. So vitamin C is very important for maintaining the integrity of the skin and holding the skin together.
Do you have any recommendations about how much vitamin C people should take a day to support optimal skin health?
Oh, typically, I would think like about a gram a day.
Yeah, which is about 1,000 milligrams.
Yeah, that's a good dose, because there's a lot of other things. You know, I know that Dr. Pauling liked to go like really high, but me personally, I don't like to go real high with any one thing. I kind of like to get a lot of different things together.
Okay, so let's talk about some other ones, because there are some interesting ones in this formula. Let's talk about pomegranate.
Sure. Well, pomegranate, of course, we were just talking about these polyphenolic compounds, and that's something that makes pomegranate very special, because pomegranate is it's rich in like anthocyanidins and these compounds called punicalagins or punicalagins, and these compounds have been shown to affect the accuracy of DNA, the DNA synthesis.
Yep.
And they also the antioxidants of pomegranate have protected against UV.
Right.
UV induced skin damage.
Yeah, it seems like there's been some research to show that taking pomegranate internally can actually help protect your skin cells from the ultraviolet radiation from the sun.
Right. There was just research as recently as last year.
Yep. And
showing that.
I did a show about a month ago with Jordan Rubin, who's a pretty, you know, well publicized guy in the natural health industry, about one of the products he was coming out with that used a type of antioxidant that I had used with my wife, who's very fair skin. When we went to the islands one year, she usually burns very easily, and I had her take high amounts of this antioxidant internally, the astaxanthins, and it actually it greatly reduced her burning and her skin damage when we were there, which was just unbelievable. It was something she was only taking internally. It was just further proof about how some of these antioxidants taken internally help protect your skin from sun damage.
Yeah, imagine that. And those are that's an important carotenoid. You're right, and that's a very good antioxidant. And so the other thing, a pomegranate also appears to help with promoting glutathione production, another important part of the endogenous antioxidant network. It's it's one of the primary antioxidants within inside the cells.
Yep.
And also modulates inflammation.
Yep, very, very important one. So unfortunately, we're going to have to take another quick break. When
sure.
we come back, we're going to continue this discussion and talk about some other very important things you need to know about keeping your skin healthy. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back after this break. And welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260. I am your host for this show, Dr. Kevin Passero. My wonderful co-host, Dana Lake, returns next week, and she will be covering an exciting topic of osteoporosis. She'll be with a Dr. Kim, who is a medical doctor located just around the corner here in Virginia, and she'll be discussing some secondary causes and some important things to note about the progression and cause of osteoporosis. So don't forget to tune in. And remember, if you've just tuning into this show, we've been talking about nutrients and ways to improve skin health, and you want to listen to the show in its entirety or any previous shows that we have done, like last week's exciting show on liver health, you can go to www.myvillagegreen.com and just listen to download any of the archived shows or previous shows for free and listen to them at your leisure. So today I have on the phone with me John O'Connor, who works for a company called Jarrow, which is known for making really high quality products at extremely affordable rates. They do great research and seem to develop really nice products. So we've been talking about some basic principles related to skin health. And one of the most important things we've been discussing so far is antioxidants, because our skin, as our largest organ and as an organ that's exposed to sunlight and a lot of other harsh things in our environment, is prone to a lot of oxidative damage. So a very important part of taking care of your skin is having a good supply of the right types of antioxidants. And this could be evidenced, as we mentioned earlier, by looking at anyone who has been a smoker for a long time. You can really see the damage in their skin over time from all of the free radicals that they're exposed to through the cigarette smoke. So in the last segment, we were discussing vitamin C a little bit. We discussed pomegranate, which has not only antioxidant effects, but is also anti-inflammatory, which is important for keeping skin looking healthy. And we also cited some interesting research that's been done showing that pomegranate can actually protect skin cells against the damaging effects of ultraviolet radiation, UVC and UVB rays. So taking this antioxidant internally, not putting it on your skin, but taking it orally, can actually protect your cells from sun damage. So it's an important thing to consider, looking at the rising rates of potential skin cancer and just other ways that we need to be very aware about protecting our skin from ultraviolet radiation, considering our ozone layer is getting somewhat depleted these days. Next, I think we have a couple other antioxidants that we would like to cover. Let's talk, John, for a second about alpha-lipoic acid, because it is a very unique antioxidant in some ways.
Yes, it is. It's often referred to as the universal antioxidant.
And why is that?
Well, it's capable of going to any cell in the body, and it has both fat-soluble and water-soluble properties.
Right, so let's talk about that, because a lot of the antioxidants we're familiar with have one or the other. Like vitamin C, we know, is a very good water-soluble antioxidant.
Right.
So, but it doesn't have the ability to necessarily provide antioxidant properties in fat-based tissue, which is important because when we look at things like atherosclerosis and the formation of cardiovascular plaques, a lot of that is through a process of lipid peroxidation, which actually occurs more in a fat-based medium.
Right.
So we look at another antioxidant like vitamin E. Vitamin E is fat-based, but not water-soluble based. So the interesting, neat thing about alpha-lipoic acid, as you just mentioned, is its ability to be an antioxidant in a water-based and a right. fat-based medium.
Right. And also, it's capable of recycling other antioxidants. You know, like, for example, it can
right.
recycle vitamin C and vitamin E and glutathione. So it's, you know, it keeps the antioxidant potential higher in the body, and it also functions directly as an antioxidant, you know, in its own right. So It really is a pretty unique antioxidant, as well as it has a specific functional role within cells and energy production. At one time, it was, and I even see it in books where it refers to it as a vitamin. And at one time, it was seriously being considered it was going to be the first fat soluble B vitamin.
Mm.
But you know, it never officially happened. But so it is very much like a vitamin.
Yeah, it does a lot of great things. It supports liver detoxification, and as you mentioned, helps to support glutathione production, which, as we mentioned, is one of those endogenous antioxidants that is very, very potent.
And it's been shown. I mean, I was reading research from 2004 where it showed to both quantitatively and qualitatively improve collagen. Which is one of the reasons why it's in there. And I think it was Dr. Perricone in his book, The Wrinkle Cure, where he talks a lot about alpha-lipoic acid mm-hmm. and its benefits to the skin.
Yeah, very, very important antioxidant. Definitely, one that should definitely be considered for a lot of people. It also has some other interesting roles. I know that there's other research coming out about it showing that it actually helps to upregulate the expression of certain genes that code for increased production of mitochondria in the cells, which is really interesting. There's a couple different nutrients that seem to be able to trigger that. CoQ10, alpha-lipoic acid, and nitric oxide-producing substances like arginine and resveratrol. And mitochondria are the powerhouses of our cells that, as you mentioned, help create energy.
Right.
So, alpha-lipoic acid has so many interesting roles. It's definitely a supplement, not only just for skin health, but for overall general health that a lot of people should consider taking.
It's been shown to protect the skin from radiation,
mm-hmm.
Also helps with protecting against chronic skin ulcers.
Mm-hmm.
One study showed that.
Yeah, so some really, really great stuff with alpha-lipoic acid. Let's talk about, I want to make sure we have time to talk about hyaluronic acid, because hyaluronic acid isn't quite an antioxidant, but it plays an extremely important role in skin health and the appearance of skin. So, I mean, I have some stats here that you sent over to me yesterday that were really interesting. At age 30, hyaluronic acid content is only 60% of what it was at age 20. And by age 60, it's only 25% of what it was at age 20. So we lose a lot of this hyaluronic acid in the skin.
We lose a lot. Babies have a lot, and you can see how plump their skin is. So as we age, we deplete that, and there's lots of the makeup of hyaluronic acid, with its repeating units of glucuronic acid and acetylglucosamine, it has lots of appendages that attract water molecules, so it's able to attract a lot of water, and the turnover is pretty rapid on hyaluronic acid. Like a third of your body supply is turned over on a daily basis.
Wow.
Of hyaluronic acid.
So where do you get, if you're not taking it as a supplement, where are you going to get hyaluronic acid from?
If you're not taking it as a supplement, your body's going to be producing it from like amino acids like L-glutamine and then glucose,
mm-hmm.
You can get those basically substrates in the diet. Like say if you ate shrimp, not if you're allergic to shrimp, but if you ate shrimp, if you cook shrimp, you can eat the shells of the shrimp. And that's a great source for the substrates for the hyaluronic acid.
So good protein, amino acid rich foods will provide your body with the substrates necessary to synthesize hyaluronic acid in your own body.
Right. And, in the case of the hyaluronic acid we have in this formula, it's produced by a fermentation process. And it's a very pure material. Some materials are not nearly so pure. They,
mm-hmm.
they might be only 10% hyaluronic acid. Ours is like 98% hyaluronic acid. And it's also a low molecular weight. And it's a low molecular weight forms as far as the skin studies go, where it's been shown to be the most beneficial.
The most important. So really, hyaluronic acid is a substance that enters our skin and helps to draw water. So it really helps with hydration.
Right.
Is that correct?
Very important for retention of moisture.
which is very important. I mean, when the skin gets dehydrated, that's when you're more likely to see the wrinkling and the unhealthful looking appearance of skin. So hyaluronic acid really is a important thing to consider when talking about the outward appearance of how your skin looks.
Yeah, it's a chief component of the extracellular matrix of the skin. Very, very, very important. You know, there is a higher molecular weight that's been used and it's found to be beneficial for the joints, but the lower molecular weight, this form, which is roughly around 200,000 Daltons, this is the form that's been used for the skin.
Okay. All right. So very interesting. Let's talk about one of the last things in this formula, which we've already mentioned a little bit when we were talking about the importance of these endogenous antioxidants. This is the superoxide dismutase, SOD, it is often referred to as.
Right. Superoxide dismutase was discovered 68 or 69, and that's really when this whole interest in antioxidant really took off, because it kind of languished before that. And it's such an important antioxidant enzyme in our bodies. I remember reading years ago about the racehorse, Seattle Slough, like one of the greatest racehorses of all time. And it, at one point, couldn't even race anymore. It was so, it felt so, his joints were so stiff, and then they started shooting it up with SOD. So, and then the horse went on to win the Triple Crown.
Wow.
It was really something. But the problem is previously all the work had been done by, you know, injection. You know,
mm-hmm.
And getting it orally was has always been real problematic, because the enzyme denatures upon hitting the gastric phase.
So it breaks down very easily. Some of these...
Yeah.
Antioxidants can be a little bit, some of these endogenous ones, when you try and take them in a supplement form, they're not always the most stable. So,
right.
You know, when you take them orally, as soon as they hit your stomach, they get completely denatured and they no longer create the benefits that they do when they're you know, together.
That's right. And with this, what we have here with the superoxide dismutase, we have the superoxide dismutase that's coming from a melon extract, and what they're doing is combining it with gliadin, which is a wheat protein, and that when the two are combined, it's been shown to protect the SOD and make sure it gets through the gastric phase. And once that happens, then it's available for absorption.
So it helps to stabilize the structure of the SOD, that it's so we can get past our gastrointestinal system and get absorbed intact, basically.
That's correct.
So I guess we should mention, you know, you said that it's attached to a gliadin molecule, which is a form of wheat. So
right.
If somebody has celiac disease or a major sensitivity to wheat, could they take this product, or could
no.
they? No, okay.
No, they can't.
So that's something to keep in mind for everybody out there. If you have... If you have that problem, you know, you may want to use some of these other nutrients individually and avoid the and avoid that. If you don't have that problem, this is a wonderful way to get high levels or get some supplemental levels of SOD to support your skin health. So we're going to have to take another quick break. When we come back from the segment, we're going to be talking about one other sort of little known nutrient that's really, really important for the skin. So don't go anywhere. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260. We will be back right after this break. Hello and welcome back to the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260. I am your host, Dr. Kevin Passero. We're here every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. Don't forget to tune in next week, where my co-host Dana Lake will be covering a wonderful topic, a very interesting topic related to osteoporosis. She'll have Dr. Kim, who is a medical doctor located right here around the corner in Virginia, discussing this topic with her. So today we've been talking about skin health. If you've missed the beginning portion of today's show, you can always go to www.myvillagegreen.com and download today's show or any of our old shows for free and listen to them at your leisure. We were talking before in the last break, we were talking about some other very important nutrients for skin health. We covered the very interesting properties of the antioxidant alpha-lipoic acid, as well as superoxide dismutase, which is one of the very powerful antioxidants produced by our own body. And we were talking with John O'Connor of Jaro Formulas, who was discussing with us some ways that they've been able to take that antioxidant and actually make it suitable for oral supplementation, because usually it doesn't do well when you try and supplement it with it orally. So in this last segment, we don't have too much time left, but I wanted to talk about another really interesting nutrient for skin health. In the last segment, I just don't want to forget, we also mentioned hyaluronic acid, which is a really important nutrient for helping with the hydration of the skin. It brings water to the skin, which gives it that fullness. So hyaluronic acid is another really important nutrient to consider for skin health. Let's talk, John, about silicon or salicylic acid.
Right. Okay. Silicon is an essential trace element. It's actually the second most abundant element in the Earth's crust. And people often think of silicon in terms of, you know, it's in industry and computers, but silicon actually plays a very important role in our biochemistry.
Now, aren't there two differences? Isn't that silicone versus silicon? Aren't they a little bit different?
Well, silicone is a compound,
right?
And it has silicon, and it's bound to carbon.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
So that's what you see in the industry, in the computer field, in the...
Well,
you know, and that's silicone that you're thinking of.
I think the silicon chip might not be silicone, but
okay.
In any event, yeah, and they use it. They still use silicone in breast implants,
mm-hmm.
but we're talking about silicon in the form of salicylic acid or ortho-salicylic acid, and that's the soluble form of silicon. It's solubilized, and that's the form, and it can be in like a form of silica, which is silicon dioxide. When it becomes hydrated, it converts to salicylic acid, and you see it in plants in the form of silica gel. They call it like liquid glass. The salicylic acid plays a very functional role in the body. It actually has a role in terms of activation of enzymes, but it also has a role and a structural role. In terms of like collagen, it plays an important role in activating enzymes that are needed in the synthesis of collagen. In terms of structure, it seems to have a structural role in the glycosaminoglycans that make up much of the intracellular matrix in the skin, kind of like the glue, the cement that helps hold the skin together.
Mm-hmm.
And silicon appears to have a structural role there versus an active role for prohydroxylase activating the enzymes needed to actually form the collagen, and it's been shown, you know, in research, like to increase the collagen content of skin by like 12% or something.
Wow, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
Now I know, you know, there's other structures of the body besides the skin that also contain collagen, like the bone.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So I know that, you know, silicon is also pretty important for bone collagen formation and bone collagen health.
Very important for the bones. Absolutely, very important. It's been shown to increase the bone mass of the femur in animals. It helps improve the formation of the joints. They've shown like silicon, when there's a lack of silicon, there's a malformation of joints. The skull forms improperly. So yeah, it plays. And that goes back to the research done by Dr. Edith Carlisle at UCLA back in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the pioneering work on that.
Now, if it's really abundant in the Earth's crust,
yeah.
I mean, I imagine we get a decent amount of it in our diet, or does it also seem beneficial to supplement with it a little bit?
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about that is if you go back to, you know, our more primitive times, our diet was actually much higher in silicon. But silicon is typically found in the more unprocessed foods. So, you know, if you're eating wild rices and such, and you're eating, say, bamboo, which Chinese people get a lot of bamboo, but most Western and people in Western diet don't eat bamboo, which is a very good source of silicon. Oats is an excellent source of silicon.
Mm.
However, you know, the more processed the oats, the less silicon you're going
to
get.
So by the time it gets to oatmeal, you may have lost most of the silicon.
You might have lost a lot of it. And also there's just other factors that interfere. You know, if your diet tends to be bland, and as older people consume a blander diet, they're going to get less silicon.
Sure, and the more processed foods, the foods that come in boxes, the foods that come all frozen, the foods that come all processed and ready to go, you're going to strip a lot of those mineral nutrient content out of that food.
Right, and what we have is the silicic acid. It's in the form of silicic acid or clusters of silicic acid, and once it hits the stomach, it converts to like the monomer state. So, or it's either in the monomer state already, or what's in the clusters converts to the monomer state. So, it's highly bioavailable.
Okay, yeah. So back that up a minute. That was a lot of scientific talk.
Okay.
So basically, what you're saying is that the form of the silicone that you guys use in the product is the Jarosil, is that correct?
Correct.
So basically it's designed so that when it hits the stomach and the process of digestion starts acting on it, what it actually does is it activates it and makes it very bioavailable.
Right.
Is that correct?
Right. It's ready to go. I mean, you get the hydrochloric acid and the water there that just, you know, make it bam, you know, and it's like hits the stomach. It's monomer state, the single unit orthosilicic acid.
Gotcha.
And that's
okay.
What you need.
So basically another really important nutrient. Now, is it something that people just have to take a little bit of? Is it safe to take long term in doses, moderate doses?
It's very safe to take long term. Absolutely. I would just say I would go by the recommended like 10 drops a day. Some people, if they take more, they might upset their stomach
okay.
a little bit.
So, I mean, I think we covered a lot of really great information today. I mean, we talked about some really important antioxidants that covered the principles of antioxidants, free radicals. We talked about endogenous versus exogenous antioxidants, which I think is a really exciting topic. And, I mean, just so people know, there's the Jarrow Skin Optimizer formula, correct? That contains a lot of the antioxidants we were discussing today, the vitamin
right.
C, the pomegranate, alpha lipoic acid, hyaluronic acid, and the superoxide dismutase. And, you know, like I said, I think you'd be hard pressed to find another formula that's designed that well, but, you know, you will find other skin health formulas are going to have similar components as far as harping on that antioxidant properties.
Yeah.
And then there's the Jarosil, which is the supplemental silicone, which people can take for their skin or, as we mentioned, for their bones. And there does seem to be some beneficial properties with silicone supporting the arteries and that
right.
Intimate, delicate structure that lines the inside of the arteries, keeping that nice and secure and patent and trying to prevent the development of plaque and other damage to the inside of arteries. So
right.
a lot of really wonderful benefits for that. Well, John, listen, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. I really appreciate you sharing that information with us. I think it was very helpful, and hopefully all my listeners out there feel like it was as well. So thank you again.
Well, Dr. Passera, it's been my pleasure.
All right, you take care.
You take care. Bye.
So again, everybody, thanks for listening. I mean, I will say that again, you know, we try and select sponsors that provide really high-level products and sort of people that we think are going to be interesting to have on the show every once in a while to share with you. So if you're interested, I think Jarrow does make a good product. If you're interested in trying theirs, that's great. Or hopefully you got enough information out of the show where you could select any kind of product based on what we shared with you about what nutrients are important for skin health in general. If you have any questions, I always encourage you to stop by the Village Green, talk to one of our nutritionists or herbalists. I am there every Tuesday. Usually I'm doing one-on-one consultations with people, but if you leave a note or talk to one of the people and you have a specific question for me, I'm usually pretty good about getting back to phone calls, or you can stop in and try and catch me on a break. So please feel free to come on in. We'd be happy to share any information with you that we could. And again, don't forget to tune in next week. Dana Lake will be on covering osteoporosis with Dr. Kim from Northern Virginia. It should be a really great show. So again, this has been the Essentials of Healthy Living on AM 1260 here every Saturday from 10 to 11. Don't forget to tune in next week. Thanks for being with me.